The last day of the Supreme Court session usually means a blockbuster day for decisions, and today was no different. The court issued rulings on two hotly anticipated cases, partisan gerrymandering and the citizenship question on the 2020 census. On partisan gerrymandering, the conservative wing of the court ruled in a 5-4 decision that federal judges do not have the power to overturn an electoral map on political grounds. The decision on the 2020 census was less straightforward. The court issued a complicated multi-part ruling on the citizenship question that the Trump administration wanted to add to the 2020 census. But it appears that the upshot is that the court blocked the Trump administration from including the citizenship question on the census for now. I have two guests with me to break down these decisions. Lawrence Hurley is a Supreme Court reporter for Reuters, and he joins us from the Supreme Court itself. Welcome to the show, Lawrence.
Hi, Tanzina.
And Nicholas Bowie is an assistant professor of law at Harvard Law School. Nicholas, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Lawrence, let's start with you. Let's talk about the partisan gerrymandering case first. What was Chief Justice John Roberts' explanation on the decision in his opinion?
Well, Chief Justice John Roberts is basically saying that this is not an issue. It's just too political to decide, you know, whether one party or another gets to benefit from the way that they've drawn electoral districts. And he wants to wash his hands of this. You know, he doesn't think it's something the courts want to get into. He's expressed this before that if the court does start getting into this, the court would just be seen as being even more political than it already is. And he'd rather try to rise above that, even if it means that these partisan districts can actually remain in place because there's no other means to challenge them.
Nicholas, what was your take on Roberts' reasoning on the partisan gerrymandering case?
His reasoning seemed to be that this has gone on for a very long time. And so long as state legislatures are responsible for determining the boundaries of various districts for Congress or for local representatives, there's going to be some sort of partisan objective in terms of whether a boundary goes on this street or that river or whatever. And so because partisanship is going to be part of how legislatures create these districts, it can't be gotten rid of by a court. And so his point seemed to be that because courts cannot police when partisanship goes too far, but courts can also not eliminate partisanship, it would be inappropriate for courts to weigh in and try to figure out the appropriate boundary.
Nicholas, we know that in her dissent, Justice Elena Kagan said, quote here, the practices challenges in these cases imperil our system of government. Nicholas, that's a pretty severe statement. What can you tell us a little bit more about what that was, what she meant there?
Yeah, so I think Justice Kagan is raising a point that many commentators have raised for the past 50 years or so, which is so long as legislatures are responsible for determining the boundaries of voters, legislators are determining the voters as opposed to voters determining the legislators. It turns the system of government by the people, for the people, of the people upside down. And so I think Justice Kagan sees this as a constitutional problem. It's a constitutional problem in which the legislators in this case were very explicit that their goal was to make the North Carolina legislature as Republican as possible, or the Maryland legislature or congressional districts as Democratic as possible. And given this problem, it's the court's responsibility to fix it.
And, you know, of course, we've got this is coming in advance of probably one of the most consequential elections we've seen in quite some time, the 2020 presidential election. Lawrence, what could the impact of this decision have on that upcoming election?
Probably a limited one in terms of, you know, the redistricting that was, you know, because the fights that are going on at the moment on redistricting, the redistricting that was done back in 2011, you know, after the last census. And so the real implications of this is going to be after the 2020 election, when new districts are drawn by whoever wins those elections in the state capitals. And then it's going to be very difficult for those future maps to be challenged in federal court, at least, although in some cases they may be able to be challenged in state court.
Yeah, if I could weigh in on that point.
Absolutely.
I think it's really important that the Supreme Court did not hold that partisan gerrymandering is always legal in all contexts. And recently, there have been cases in Florida, in Pennsylvania, and in other states in which the state court or the state Supreme Court has looked at the state constitution and found that because of clauses within that constitution, partisan gerrymandering within the state is unconstitutional under state law. Moreover, Congress has recently, or at least the House has recently passed HB1, the main priority of the new Democratic House, which would require independent redistricting commissions in all 50 states. So I don't think that this case signals that we will always have to live with partisan gerrymandering, but rather that federal courts are not going to be the institution responsible for eliminating it.
We've got about a shorter time left in the segment than I'd like, but I really want us to touch on the census case, which was actually very complicated. Nicholas, Chief Justice Roberts sided with the four more liberal judges in saying that the Trump administration's reasoning for adding the question was insufficient. What does that essentially mean in plain language?
So in plain language, there have been several cases over the past 2 years in which the Trump administration has taken an action in which the subjective motivation seems really suspect. So the travel ban is a pretty good example. And the census case, where adding a citizenship question seems to have been motivated by perhaps partisan ends, perhaps by a desire to make it less likely that non-citizens will participate. However, the Trump administration's lawyers have been able to point to objective, neutral considerations that justify the administration's policies. So in this case, the Department of Justice issued a letter in 2017 saying that adding a citizenship question would be good for helping the Department of Justice enforce the Voting Rights Act.
Lawrence, what happens next with the citizenship question?
It's a really uphill battle now for the Trump administration to add this question in time for the census forms to be printed. And so far, you know, as we're talking, they haven't really said what they plan to do. But the challenges to the question are saying it's definitely, this is done. We won. And they can't add the citizenship question because there's just not enough time for them to go back and go through all the agency review to come up with a new rationale that maybe would be legal if it was administered to by the courts. And that could take months, you know, and they have to start printing the census forms because there's, you know, millions and millions of forms that have to be printed pretty soon. And the government's been saying they have to do it by the end of this month. So, you know, it seems really problematic for the government to do anything. But I would just add one thing in the ruling today. You know, the ruling, as you said earlier, is very complicated. But, you know, the liberal justice joined Roberts in saying that this particular decision to add the citizenship question was unlawful and had to be sent back to the Commerce Department. But a separate part of the ruling on a 5-4 vote in which the conservative justices joined Roberts in the majority and the liberal justices were in dissent, actually did say that it's okay to add the citizenship question to the census. Maybe not for this census, but maybe in the next census when another administration is in power and they follow the right procedure and they have a rationale that makes sense, they could go ahead and do this.
And I'm wondering, Nicholas, if you had any final thoughts on what either of these decisions tells us about Chief Justice Roberts and his role as sort of the swing vote on this conservative-leaning court, by about 30 seconds.
I think there are two takeaways. The first is that Chief Justice Roberts seems to support things that have existed for a long time. So if you can point to historical precedent and say, you know, states have been engaged in partisan gerrymandering for a long time, the federal government has asked citizenship questions for a long time, that's a really good indication for him that something is constitutional. And I think the second thing is he's at least willing in this case to look at pretext and say, yeah, the Trump administration or any presidential administration has a neutral reason for this, but we're willing to look behind it and see whether that is in fact the reason that underlies the motivation of the department or of the administration.
Nicholas Bowie is assistant professor of law at Harvard Law School, and Lawrence Hurley is a Supreme Court reporter for Reuters. We appreciate you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.